Have you ever wondered why you're not getting faster? Or maybe you've wondered how to adjust your training plan after a big weekend ride or a hard race? Well, we just launched an update to adaptive training that takes care of these issues for you. It's called Red Light, Green Light, and it predicts fatigue and burnout before it happens so you can keep getting faster. Now, this is not a readiness score. It's one of a kind, and it's the next generation of fatigue management. It uses AI to understand how you adapt to training at a very deep level, knowing your historical limits, your current limits, and your potential. It analyzes your actual performance during every ride, then uses its understanding of you to decide how much recovery you need to avoid burnout and stay consistent. We've been testing this around the world with athletes from Tour de France riders to the Weekend Warriors, and they are absolutely loving it. The reason it works so well is it combines the power of AI with the training principle of super compensation, making sure you get the right amount of recovery after training. And this even works when you aren't training indoors. It'll analyze every ride or race all year, letting you train and ride how you want while avoiding excess fatigue. So how do you use it? Just keep doing what you're doing. You may see yellow or red days pop up on your calendar after training. A yellow day means you are nearing a point of fatigue that can make your training potentially detrimental. And if you had a hard workout scheduled that day, it'll adapt to an endurance workout. A red day means your training is likely to be unproductive. And if you had a workout scheduled that day, it'll adapt to a rest day. Now the changes it suggests to your training plan show up like normal adaptations. So all you have to do is click accept adaptations after your workouts. We know you're gonna love this feature and we're excited to see it make you faster.
Welcome to the podcast. It's dedicated to making you a faster cyclist. The Ask a Cycling Coach podcast presented by Trainer Road. I'm Coach Jonathan Lee with our CEO, Nate Pearson. We have Alex Wild with us as well from the Cycle Sports Specialized team. It's good to have him here. And Nate, this is a huge week for us here at Trainer Road. One of the most exciting. I mean, we've launched AIFTP detection recently. Huge success. Red light, green light that we've launched now. We've been talking about it in early access. Now it's available for everybody. Everyone can use it.
Better be. Yeah, we're recording this like 4 days before it actually goes out. So, but you said we're going to push the podcast. So yeah, it'll be out. If you hear this, it's out.
Yep. Yeah. We've been preparing as a team and everything else. It feels like it's already out because we have everything basically ready to just hit the launch button. So feels like it's out. Nate, let's go through. So we've talked about what it is kind of at like a base level. And if you're watching this now, I'm sure that you saw the intro video that played before this. So it gave you some context on this whole thing as well, of course. But let's just talk about a little bit of what it is and kind of go through maybe some of like the FAQ so people can understand this thing a little bit better, you know?
Can I start too about why we built it?
Yes, please.
Because it's so what we've seen over the years are people who do too much, right? And Alex, you're kind of like me too, where you get like super motivated and you follow the numbers. Alex, have you ever done too much in training?
Oh, never. Not every
day. Right? And those things, like, they set you back, right? And sometimes people get set back where they, you know, they take a week off or they get sick, but other times you just kind of get stale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You kind of like plateau and you're never really, go ahead.
In our training, I actually train at an artificially low FTP for this exact reason, because my coach has identified that I'm too high on the ranges. And so when I do that at a lowered FTP, we're kind of where I want to be. So it's not even,
and I'll make lowers
not even like, necessarily the number, but it's like when I see a range, I must like float to the top. So
Can I share something really quick on that? Because it's really interesting that you say that, Alex. AIFTP detection over the past 3 years, because it learns who you are as an athlete as you go. And Nate, I now am training at a lower FTP than I used to, even though I could test at that level and everything else. But AIFTP detection for me, and for some people, they've found that they train at a higher level. So this proves that it's very individual, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, it's trying to find where I can have that sustainable, consistent training that I'm really getting the sort of benefits and improvements that I need. And the FTP numbers are lower than they used to be. That could also be for a lot of different situations, but it's just to that point, Alex, I think that there's a lot of ways that we probably do too much when we're just kind of going on our own and trying to force and brute force our way through training, you know?
And side note on that, Alex, you want to say something?
I mean, I agree 100%. I think also FTP, a lot of people think what you can hold for 60 minutes, right? But it's almost anywhere from 35 to 80 minutes effectively in terms of what you can actually hold. And most of the people, if you ask them to hold their FTP for an hour, most likely wouldn't, or what they claim their FTP is. So it's going back to time and zones, right? So it's whatever you can train at consistently and get the most time in zone, because when you're racing, you're not racing to an FTP, you're racing to the fitness you've built. So if you can build the most fitness, then you will be faster on race day, regardless of what your FTP number says.
And that's why we did the progression levels too that connect with the FTP, because then, you know, you could be anywhere between that 35 to 70 minutes. But if you're at the 35 area, maybe you're at a level two or three threshold, then you build it up right as you go through. And if you just were to change your FTP by a watt every time, it'd be really hard to get those longer time in zones. I mean, you could do it in different ways because it's just watt numbers, but it really lets it become individual. And John's probably, air quotes, over-tested on a ramp test because of his extremely good ability of VO2 max. He can go super deep in his anaerobic power, where other people, some people like, they just can't do that. It's really hard for them to go really deep. And they found out when they did AFTP detection, well, my FTP is higher than I thought. I've been training too easy. Not what we have. But so anyways, what we saw is that, you know, people, if you follow the plan and the right volume plan, there's different problems that we're trying to fix with this. Follow the right volume plan, has days on, easy days, hard days, days off, right? That works if you're in the right volume. But how most all cyclists train is, maybe in the winter they do that, but then there's this time where they start doing outdoor rides too. And that Saturday outdoor ride that replaces maybe the 90-minute interval ride becomes this four-hour ride where 2 hours of it were the drop ride, then they rode 2 hours around, and then they continue their plan the same way, right? And that's suddenly this huge extra stimulus that they weren't planning on. And that next Tuesday they rode, they're fine. But that happens a couple more times, and then 4 weeks later, they're like, oh, this is crispy. I'm hating this. Like, I've stagnated, and I wish we could go back in time and fix them right then, right? Because you can see it, like, with a coach's eye. If you look at them after they've burned out or they have, or they've gotten stale, you can look back and see where it started. And Alex, I'm sure you've seen that too, right? You can look back and see where it was bad. And then the other issue too is someone just picking too high of a volume plan. Mm-hmm. And we've seen this too. Like, our high volume plans, they're like, people have won national championships on low and mid volume. In our stuff, the high volumes for a very high level rider who has a lot of ability to recover too, right? Mm-hmm. They've been training for a long time, can recover, genetics are special. It's really like a 4% of the, like, of our people use it. It's not for everybody.
Yeah. I think it's cool too. So from what I've seen at the red light, green light, that I think one of the things working with a coach that I enjoy is the expectation piece. Like, if you go into a workout and you're tired, but you are expected to be tired, it's almost different than, like, why the heck am I tired?
Yeah.
So it's like that expectation versus reality piece. So it's like, it's giving you that coloring system and be like, you know, this is a stretch, so you should feel tired in this workout. And if you do, that's okay. I think it changes the mentality for you going through that workout. Like, okay, we're kind of stretching through this weekend and then we have the rest week ahead. So you kind of know, all right, let's see what I can do and see what happens.
And what you said is, like, it's the mentality of, and am I right now, am I tired or am I just not tough? Right. Is this a mental issue that I have? And there's something, am I tough or gritty enough as a cyclist to do this? Or am I really so tired that I should be resting? Cause we all know we should rest sometimes. And I think a lot of us type A people, like all three of us, we go, no, I'm going to grit through this. Like, I'm going to be super tough. Right. And that gives you permission to rest or permission to have that easy day. So you get a yellow day and you had intervals, and actually you can get a yellow day too, just with only outside riding, no trainer at all. And we'll say, hey, do an endurance ride or take it easy or take it off. Get a red day, you should rest. And that permission, knowing that you can do that and you'll be able to hit that next day hard, or the next workout you have hard. So the hard days are hard and easy days are easy. That's like the whole value proposition, so that you can be consistent over time. That's why we built it. And you've probably seen, you know, on the forum and stuff, people say train rope burned us out. And there's, you look at it and it's not them following the train rope plan. It's them doing extra stuff. Yeah. And when we apply yellow, red light, green light, or to it, you can see that they were training hard on yellow days and red days. And that's what we would expect to them burn themselves out. So although we've said on the podcast for years, this is what you should do. It's hard to apply it, right? And just like what I said with the mental stuff, you want to do it. There's a big, huge group ride. You want to do that. You just got to change your training later. If you do train on a yellow or red day, you got to rest more. So that's hopefully that prevents that, and it's going to make everybody faster. We're going to see all world records go to, just kidding.
And Nate, you mentioned the fact that, like, you know, the human factor that causes us to train too much, right? In the sense that, like, our own, we really want to get faster, and then in our mind, they have answers to do more all the time. That's not unique to train a road whatsoever. That's human nature, and that's coaching, and that's, like, what athletes experience across the board, right? That's training.
You should see me take supplements.
Yeah.
More is more.
Yeah, yeah, more is better. Yeah.
Alex, are you addicted to like supplements too? Like when I was racing a lot, like fish oil and niacin.
Did you have like
and,
a, I mean, a dog kibble bowl, it looked like, for the pills that you would take for all
yeah,
the,
I
like,
have it on my Instagram.
The supplements.
Yeah, story highlight. But every one of them had like maybe a little bit of research that might make it better. And I said, well, if I combine all of these, that's like 30 watts.
I'm not sure I'm that's not that true. Fringe, but I definitely do beta-alanine, creatine monohydrate, like the big ones that are proven. And then at night, kind of just try to round out the micronutrients. So I'll do vitamin D3, multivitamin, omega, iron, and calcium. And so kind of just the ones that are
you're reasonable.
Most likely you're low on. But if you have a, you know, a bit too much calcium, it's fine, like kind of thing. So it's more so understanding that my micronutrient needs are a little higher, and it's hard to get that from food. But I mean, I think,
yeah,
maybe fringe stuff I'm not so obsessed with.
No, because Alex is here. We love the science stuff, Alex and I, and the numbers. Vitamin D3, you bring that up. We haven't talked about it. I know we're talking about red light, green light some more. But yeah. Vitamin D3 is a fat soluble, like it's a hormone, right? I think it's a hormone, right? And so when you take it, so many people are low, especially endurance athletes.
Yeah.
Even if you're in the sun all the time, even if you drink fortified vitamin D stuff, you can get it tested with a doctor. And I think or even in America, you can go to like LabCorp and just pay for it yourself, which is cool. So you don't have to go through that whole process of like seeing a doctor. And low vitamin D is going to prevent, it's going to have health impacts and prevent your performance, make it so you don't recover as well. And the IU, the recommended value, I think, for international units, that's what it is, like 400 per day.
Yeah.
Extremely low. And that's not going to probably be enough if you're training to get you to a higher level. Of course, talk to your doctor. But what my doctor had me doing was 5,000 per day. Isn't that crazy to get my number up? Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. It's like the bell curve, right? And when you're looking at an athlete, it's like the 2,000, 2,500 calorie diet. You're not in the center of that bell curve when you're an endurance athlete.
Totally.
And it's different demands on your body. I guess the last one I didn't mention is I'll take that with tart cherry juice, which I'm a fan of as well.
Hell yeah.
That's kind of like my
brother. My brother.
That's sick.
Yeah. Sick, bro.
Yeah. So that's like my go-to in the evening is like I have one of those old people Monday through Friday systems, and I set that up at the beginning of each month. I have two of those, so I don't have to do it all the time. And then.
Amazing. Yeah, I just bought a month's worth of it so that I can just do it the whole time. A month's worth of like vitamin pills. So my point on this is that vitamin D, you can take too much. Because you said like other vitamins, you vitamin C, you can take a bunch, you'll pee it out. Vitamin D, you can take so much that it can be toxic in your system. So if you are going to do it, get it measured, talk to a doctor, figure out how much you're going to take, and then get it measured again so you don't take too much. But
this is something interesting.
It's something that people should look into.
And same with iron is also in that bucket. You can take too much. And it's definitely, it comes around in circles. And I feel like it's coming back around now, talking about iron and iron supplementation in athletes. So it is something worth checking first. Again, if you're in the US, LabCorp, or I forgot what the other one is, but
Quest
Diagnostics, you can just order a panel for iron and see where you're at. And then make a plan of action from there. But that's also one that's dangerous to take too much.
You know, the interesting thing is, and I don't know if this is actually like founded or if it's simply just internet chatter or anything else, but I've seen some reviews that are calling into question the efficacy of vitamin D supplementation for athletes. And then some people are really taking that narrative and running with it. I need to look more into the research. So this is like a future topic that I really want to cover on the podcast because... Because I don't know, because you know how that happens, Nate and Alex, like where a study comes out and it disproves something. So then suddenly somebody says that single study like redefines the entire story and just takes the entire existing body of evidence and throws it out. And I think that it's best to use like a measured approach at that and look at the body of research and consider it all. But I want to look into this because I also take vitamin D. I take like a multivitamin. I can't remember the name of it. It's some sort of really expensive multivitamin that was the highest rated one on Amazon. Because I started taking it before the school year started. Not athletic greens. And I started taking it before this school year. And I was like, I'm not going to get sick. It's going to be amazing. I have been so sick this year. I have no clue if it would have been worse with the multivitamin or not. I don't know. As of now, it's just like taking that multivitamin just makes me have to go through razor blades faster, shaving my legs and cutting my hair and fingernails. Like, it's really good at making hair and fingernail growth, but
it might be the
John,
two
our kids go to the same
it
school.
Might be the multivitamin. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oliver's sick today too. It's been just one gosh, Avery, Oliver, and myself. It's a cycle.
It just goes back through. Yeah. So
exactly.
But it's been really like a thing where I've wanted to look into this because I'm like, I'm spending it. They're not cheap. It's like a lot of money, like for these vitamins and everything else.
It is. And though what I've always thought is that it's like the risk reward. So there is, if you're not going to hurt yourself with this thing, and there's liver issues too, with taking a lot of these things, you measure that, which I do. If it's not that much money, like vitamin D, I don't know, like $20 for a month or two.
Yeah.
And you make sure you don't take too much. Yeah, exactly. As long as there's no detrimental stuff, I would totally get into the
vitamin D is like one of the cheaper vitamins that like mm-hmm. in terms of like the supplements that you can take, it's on the cheaper side of the scale for sure.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So what's this thing we're talking about?
Red light, green light. Back to it. I think that there's like a really, so we were talking about the fact that we all have these human factors of like eagerness and we trust ego. past things. Yes. Our ego. Like, you know, well, man, I used to train 26 hours and I was in college, so I can still do that. I know that worked for me then. I'll try it again now. And we have all these different things that we rely upon to try to kind of deny the signals that we're getting that maybe we're not, or maybe we're doing too much. And
the other one is the, sorry, John, I'm going to do this whole podcast. Well, the other one is the comeback, like the comeback journey, like that you overtrain, the comeback burnout, where you're like, this is going to be it. And I pick the high volume and I go 800 TSS, 800 TSS, 200 TSS, 000.
Yes.
800 TSS, 800 TSS.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And then also in addition to that, like coming back from illness, coming back from any sort of time off that you spend, how we're just like, I need to get right back to where I was. And we just jump right back in. There's so many issues that we will bump up against with our training where we are in like thinking of this practically in terms of like the benefits that you get as an athlete. This helps you avoid excess fatigue that comes from all those different scenarios like we talked about. But more than that, what it does is it gives you the right prescription when you're fatigued. Because it's one thing to have something that's like a readiness score that's just trying to tell you based on factors where it hasn't been trained on cycling training data. It hasn't been trained to give you the right workout as a result of what it's thinking about. It hasn't been trained on any of that stuff. That just says, well, today is like, you know, you're ready to train or you're not ready to train. And we all know that those ones are fraught with error and we've experienced that. And that's why, I think that if all that stuff worked, it would be a different story in terms of where development would be going these days. But we know that those don't work very well. And instead, what you need as a cyclist is you need something that's trained on cycling day that's going to give you the right workout that you do that day. And it's not a readiness score. Instead, it's looking down the road and it's looking at it's predicting fatigue based on the habits and patterns that it can recognize thanks to AI, ML, everything else that we've been using. And then that way it can make those sort of changes to give you the right workout based on all of it. So
It's like you have a credit card and you spend an extra $10,000 one day. We're like, we're predicting that you're going to go broke unless you start recovering. And other people are like, no, man, like I can do this. I'll just keep going. And that's kind of what we do to our bodies, right? We spend this huge thing and then we're like, we'll just slide this into our budget and pretend like it never happened and then keep spending. And you got to recharge that bank account, recharge the body.
Yes. When you've been carrying on, you know, 500 to 600 TSS per week, and then on that Saturday, you go and do a 280 TSS ride. We can't just convince ourselves that that's within budget, right? Like, and the thing is, some of those rides, those are like emotionally necessary, socially necessary for us. Like, we need to be able to do those things. And this is the cool part. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, this is when you get out on go ride, spend the time with your friends, enjoy the trails, whatever it is. You shouldn't remove those things. You have to at a certain point, you have to pick and choose, right? Like how important is your training versus that? But this is the cool part. Let's say that I do those hard rides and we'll put up an animation so you can see this. This is a person that isn't following a training plan, okay? So this is a person that's just riding. And I might go out and I might do an easy zone 2 cruise on the first day. And the next day I go and do hill reps with my friends. And it's super fun. Like we're just going hard and we do something like that. I ramp up a bunch of TSS. Then the next day, I get a yellow day because I did something too hard, right? But it's also Wednesday night worlds and I don't want to miss that crit. So I go out and do the crit. And then after that, I'm just like dead the next day. I have a red day. It makes sense, right? I get a rest day instead of the ride that I was going to plan to do with my friends. I get a rest day. I follow that rest day. And then the next day coming back, I'm like, eh, it's yellow, but maybe I can still go out and do something. And I know that, Alex, haven't you done this before where you go out and ride to test the waters and you're like, nope, still tired. Like,
yeah, you know? I think, like, from what I've heard of the system and what you've told me, it sounds just like working with my coach. It's like sometimes we overreach and then it's kind of like, let's see how we feel. So we do it a bit more on, like, we have standard workouts we go and do, and we have baselines for in terms of, like, here's where we should be. And going back to, like, readiness scores, I always, those are interesting to me because you shouldn't always be ready to train. Like, when we want adaptations, like, you, there are certain like strategic points when you want to be tired going into something. Like, it's not a race. So it's like, for it to tell me I'm not ready to train is kind of like, am I not ready to train, or am I not peaking for this workout kind of thing? So it's,
yeah, super compensation, right? You want to go back down, yes, a little bit, and you get tired and then rest and then get up.
Yes. That's, and that, Nate, that's like going back to the analogy of the check engine light, right? In the sense that, like, you have the check engine light, that doesn't mean that you have to shut the car off, right? That just means, and when you have a yellow day, you'll see that if it's a hard workout, it'll put you, it'll suggest that you adapt that to an endurance workout, right? And it'll suggest the right workout for you. But it doesn't mean that you have to, like, instantly stop. And that's a big thing for people, I think, to understand.
My understanding is the more I drive with the check engine light on, the faster my car gets, as long as I park it overnight.
But look, that sounds ridiculous, but isn't that exactly what most of us do when we're unchecked in our training, right?
I mean, yeah.
That's, yeah, it sounds ridiculous.
You don't
ridiculous,
get faster to park, but yes.
Yeah. But yeah, that's exactly it. And yes, Alex, like 100%. That's how accurate. Great example.
I mean, sorry. Can I mention the slider? Go ahead, Alex.
I was going to say, it's funny that you say that, because that's what the workout's called, is a check engine light when we...
Really?
Really?
That's awesome. Yeah. That's funny. That's great. The, yeah, Nate, the aggressiveness slider. Let's explain how that, yeah, works.
So under your profile, under adaptive training, there are some settings there. And one is the, like, I think it's, what's it called? You'll see it, a slider, the aggressiveness. That's what we call it internally, but yeah, there's a name to it. And it's kind of like on your retirement plan or your investments, where you can say, I want to be aggressive, where it's going to be like 100% stocks and 0% bonds, or I can be more conservative, where it's like a balance between the two. And what that does is changes how likely you are to get a yellow or red day, where if you do think that, you know, I'm going to change my recovery, I'm going to eat more, I'm going to sleep more right now, maybe my lifestyle has changed, I think I can do more than the past, you can tick that up one or two times, but just know you have a higher likelihood of being burned out too from that, because it's the risk reward, right? You're going to push yourself. On the other side, you can make it go easier, where it's easier to trigger those days. And that's what I have right now, is I'm training and I really don't want to, you know, go too hard. I kind of want to give me a yellow or red day, like, cause I'm like, ooh, I did a good job. Like, yeah, it's time to rest. I want that, like, permission too. So I have it all the way down. The moment it doesn't,
like,
go ahead.
Throughout the season, right? Like, I'm thinking, if you're in the base season, would you want it to be harder to trigger those? Cause you kind of have a longer runway, I guess, to recover, and there's no A events coming up, and then maybe move those to more sensitive as you get closer to an event. Cause you don't want to accrue any unneeded fatigue, kind of like just enough to keep me ticking along for that big day.
You couldn't. Yes. And so if you change it too, it doesn't change your whole calendar. It's just the time that you did workouts where it's at. I think the balance is probably good for most people in base. But again, if you want to do a little extra this base season, you could go more aggressive. And then in season two, if you are, you know, racing every weekend and you really are getting close to burnout, you feel like it, you could kick it down to be more conservative so that you're really fresh for those, for those weekend, you know, races.
Yeah. And that brings up another huge benefit for the athlete that isn't even following a training plan. You're just riding however you want. You're doing whatever the group rides are. You're doing the races when you want to do them, whatever it might be. And maybe, like, and for you, you still want to show up at whatever, like, the big ride that you want to do with your friends, or if you are going to do a race or something like that, you still want to show up and know that you're not cooked and know that you're ready. And in that case, this is a really cool feature of red light, green light, is, like I was talking about that example of the athlete that isn't following a training plan, it will still be looking at that and saying, hey, where what you're doing right now, it might get you into a point where your training becomes unproductive. And if coming into, let's just say, I don't know, that you're going to do like, Mid-South Gravel is coming up, right? Or it's, I guess it's in the past if you're listening to this right now, but Mid-South Gravel or something, and that's what you want to do, but you don't want to follow a training plan to do it. You just want to show up and go for it. You could avoid those red days and use red light, green light to make sure that you're not going out and doing this pre-ride 1 week before when you ride 8 hours and you blow yourself up and get yourself in a hole. It's a really helpful thing to be able to avoid that sort of stuff. For athletes that are normal, not superhumans like Alex. Alex is a superhero in terms of fitness. It's insane.
It is insane.
Alex is mentioning that he might like drop, make it more aggressive when he's in the base phase. And for me, an athlete, so, you know, but like when I'm in peak form, I'm close to 5 watts per kilo, which is statistically very high. I probably wouldn't dare to do that. The middle slider, just for a point of context, the middle slider for me, the balanced position is like, it's perfect across the board for me. So, like Alex said, it's kind of cool to be able to provide that level of customization. We've looked at athletes that have been racing the Tour de France. We've looked at athletes that are like weekend warriors that are just like getting started in this thing. And from everybody across the board, this feature is very individual. It's not like something like TSB that's looking at just strict static numbers. This is next generation, far beyond that, right? And instead what this is highly individual to you. And it's all because of adaptive training and being able to learn who you are as an athlete. That's what gives us this ability to make it so individual. So it's,
yeah, I think that's just super exciting. The key piece there is that it would learn me, right? So it's like, I do group rides strategically on the weekends. I do that 200 to 300 TSS day, zone 1 to 5. But In theory, the system should be able to see my training that I've done that before, that I've handled that load before, that I can do 1200 TSS a week and back it up. And it won't say red day next day. It'll be like, all right, like we know handle another 200 TSS day the next day because you've done it before, and it will learn on that. And it's like within that slider, I could be more aggressive if we're trying to build that fitness, and it would then lean even more towards that green day and say, all right, like we've seen you do this before, you can do it again kind of thing.
You got it, Alex. And to prove that, I could give you my login and you could just upload your files to my account. It'll just be like a sea of red. It'll be for a while. And then actually there'll be like, actually, Nate's really effing fast.
Yeah.
At first though, it's going to be like, whoa, hold on. It probably think it's drunk or something. Like,
yeah.
That'd be a change.
Red days are very, very rare on your career, Alex. I've looked at your career with it.
That's a really good point. The better the athlete, the less red days they have, and the less that they go super hard on yellow days that trigger red days. Mm-hmm. Like it is. And then the lower me, I had so many red days, and you too, John, you have red days also, but not as many as me, but like, you can see where it gets. Here's the cool part. Everyone listening to this, you can sign up for Trainer Road, and it's retroactive. So you sync your account with Strava or Garmin, you can look back and scroll on your calendar and see your training and how it would have changed it, and how, if you like agree with it or something like that. And then if you don't like it, you can go to your account information page and click refund, and you get a refund. So everyone 100%. Can check it out for free. If you do it the same day, it doesn't charge us anything. If you do it later, it costs like 50 cents. But if you like it, you can use it moving forward, even if you're outside. So it's, everyone can actually try it to see if, how it would have changed their training. And then that time where you are inconsistent, look for week 2-3 weeks before that, training hard on yellow or training hard on red days. And then if you see then that you get inconsistent later, you got really tired, you start feeling workouts, you feel flat or stale. That's a key that this feature would help you.
For sure.
Yes. That's so key. And you can go and it's like Nate said, go and try it. And if it doesn't work and you don't like the way it looks, we'll refund you. Happy to do it. It's cool. We got one comment this morning from the form, or maybe yesterday from the form. It was overnight. And it was an athlete saying, I looked back at it and I've struggled with like training myself to the point where I get sick, where I get broken down and I get sick. And they were like, and I looked back, and in every situation, it was like 1 to 2 weeks beforehand, they started to see yellow and red days pop up and they ignored them. And they were like, and I remember those times and I remember feeling sick, but I was like, forget it. Like I can keep going. And in every situation, it would have, if they were following and had it on, it would have stopped them from getting into that situation. The cool part is it's so easy to use. Like you literally do nothing. Like all you have to do the changes that it suggests to your training plan, or to just the changes it suggests you make if you're not following a training plan, you're just riding outside, not doing it. It'll just give you a red or a yellow day. And if it's a red day, it'll suggest that you do a rest day. And if it's yellow and you're not on a plan, that's a good indication that you should just take it easy. If you want to, you can take that day off and be guilt-free about it. If you're following a plan, yellow days will, if it's an endurance workout that's under 90 minutes, in most cases, something like that, that's pretty easy. It's going to keep you at that workout, but otherwise it's going to adapt you down to an easier endurance workout and otherwise a rest day. So all you have to do is click accept adaptations. That's literally all you have to do to use it. It's so cool. So
that's right.
Or nothing if you're training outside.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? Right. If there's somebody who's listened to 466 of our episodes and hasn't signed up for Trainer Road.
I know. Like, I see how many of you listen.
Yeah, exactly. Just sign up and like, just pay. Like, you don't even use it. Like, we've given you $20 a month of entertainment for years and years and years, please. That's crazy.
I got to run, unfortunately, but I was going to say, if you want to, we can definitely post my last 4 weeks with this up with it. If people want to see how it adapts, I'm happy to share that. So
thanks for having me. I'll put weeks of Alex's training up on the screen. When Alex and you were talking about it and stuff, we'll put it up here so then people can see it.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for having me, guys.
Cool. See you thanks, soon. Alex. Appreciate you joining with this limited time you had. Appreciate it, man. Well, cool. Nate, this is like huge. When people look at this in terms of like a value proposition, it's only for $20 a month. That's what Trainer Road is. You get features like red light, green light, AI FTP detection, adaptive training. You get support like our support agents, world-class support agents. In fact, we just had two of our support agents won the Cape Town Cycle Tour. Just amazing. So Kent Main and Tiffany Keep. Kent went solo. Tiffany won in one of the longest.
Two.
Yes, most drawn out sprints. And for people that don't know, they might not know, but Cape Town Cycle Tour, I believe, I'm quite confident in this, and those from South Africa can let us know. I believe it's the largest mass participation cycling event in the world, like in the entire world. There are thousands and thousands of cyclists on the road that do this one. It's amazing.
Two of our employees.
Yes.
Men and woman won.
It's pretty amazing. So those are the sort of people that you're connecting with customer support. So we have red light, green light, AI FTP detection, adaptive training, world-class support that you can get from these people. You're probably going to be getting more value than you would from a coach that's going to be charging you hundreds of dollars every month. And instead, this is just $20 a month. You got to sign up for it. It's amazing.
Coaches can use this tool with their athletes also. Like,
yes,
you can use red light, green light as an assistance to what you're doing to help prevent burnout and stuff like that. So you could sign up, sync their data, and just don't tell them you're using it. And then charge them. Just kidding. Don't do that. Yeah. But you could. I mean, I think, too, as we go more and more into AI and stuff, the coaching aspect will be all the soft skills, right? The technique, the accountability, and all of that. And maybe the deep analytics and stuff is going to be more handled by machines. That's the way that I think it's going to go.
Yeah. More and more coaches that I hear from all the time are mentioning. In fact, I was just like at a coaching summit, and it was cool to see how many coaches are like, oh yeah, I use Trainer Road with my athletes. Like it takes care of the prescription side of thing and everything else. So it's becoming more and more common. Like you said, Nate,
If you sign up for a year, it's only $15.75 a month. And then the other cool thing that we started doing is when you sign up, if you're a little overwhelmed by everything that we do and stuff, there's ability to schedule a call with one of our support leads. And they will answer all your questions and walk you through the product. We record those. And then what we do is we take that confusion or, things that we could then make better either through our product site or our marketing site to make things more clear or support. And then we adjust it for that. So, if you're intimidated by technology at all and you don't have to be an older person, just in general, you can do that. And there you go. You can have it walk through and we'll keep helping you until you feel comfortable.
Yeah. It's awesome. So check it out. Red light, green light live now for all athletes. It's a super exciting time for us here at Trainer Road. This is the sort of feature that like we're getting to the point now with developing, like it's a long road with developing AI and ML and everything else. It takes a long time to get the sort of momentum you need. And we're now to the point where we can do unprecedented things like AI FTP detection and this. And
there's more coming.
Oh yeah. It's really exciting.
It's a snowball.
Yes. So go ahead and over there and sign up. And I know if you're listening to this, hopefully this has been really helpful for you. I know that this is absolutely an ad for our product. And like Nate said, this is 466 podcasts and we've given out helpful training information even within this. So I hope it's been something valuable for you guys. Nate, go ahead. And then I have a couple other things.
If you like us too, like we spend very little on marketing, just please tell everybody, like post to your cycling people and forums and stuff. comment, rate the podcast, rate us in the app store. That really helps. Man, we've had over 30 million workouts done in our system. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And we've got over 250 million activities overall that are educating adaptive training, which is super cool.
Yeah. That's what's coming into our system. I think too, like, what do we have? Like, I'm sorry, I should not be doing this live, but it is, oh yeah, like 25,000 plus reviews through the App Store and Google Play at a 4.9 average.
It's amazing.
25,000.
Yes. It's incredible. So we appreciate all of you that have signed up for Trainer Road. And if you haven't yet, check it out. A couple more congratulations that I want to throw out to friends of the podcast here. Keegan and Sophia won Belgium Waffle Ride Arizona and Valley of Tears Gravel. Sophia's already over in South Africa because she's racing Cape Epic. It's going to be amazing. Yes. I'm super excited to see her. And I think that with her partner this year, I think they have a really good shot at winning it too. It's going to be exciting to see. And then also Mateo Jorgensen, guest and friend of the podcast, he won Paris-Nice. Just incredible. Beat Remco Evenepoel, beat Primoz Roglic, some of the best cyclists in the world. And he just handled it like he was just, you know, like he meant to be there, seasoned vet, and just super cool. So congratulations, Mateo. Go support those athletes and let them know. Nate, I think we'll leave it there for this one and keep it a short one. And then next week we'll be back with even more research and insight. It's going to be a great one.
Cool. Sounds good.
Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Bye-bye.